and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host, hosting you on another Power Friday. And believe me when I say I am glad to be your host. Honored to be your host. Sure enough, appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining me. So many of you join me week after week. And from time to time and time to time, some of you will let me know that you're listening and that you listen on a regular basis. Thank you so much for encouraging me with that. I mean that. Thank you so very much. I really do strive to provide information that we can use. And so it's important to me that we all come together ready to grasp what information will be shared, whether I'm speaking solo or I have the added pleasure of speaking with a guest. Grab that information and use it to the max. That's the hope. So thank you again so very much. So many of you, men and women, who are letting me know you're listening. Thank you so much. It is another Power Friday, and I want us to take a look some more at a couple of topics that we've been exploring for some time now. One of them being, well, having to do with becoming more effective leaders. The other having to do with becoming more effective parents. Now, when you hear me say becoming more effective parents, don't allow that to offend you any more than you'd be offended by hearing me say we become more effective leaders. One of the beautiful things about life is that we can always grow. We can always develop, which means, of course, we can always do better, even when we're already doing well. You know, I've often talked about how a person can do better and still not do well. For example, a person has been taking a subject, whatever the subject is, and so far their score has been a 63. They're not doing well. They put in just a little bit more time and a little bit more effort, and the next go round, they make a 69. They really have done better. They really have. 69 is better than 63. But it's not good. It's still not good. So they're still not doing well. But now let's flip that. A person can be making a 90. They can have been taking their courses, and there's one particular subject that they really thought they'd find challenging, and it was challenging, but they put in some time. They put forth effort. And when their first report came back, their overall average was a 90. They are doing very well, but they can actually do better because there are 10 more points that they can gain in that course. They can go from a 90 to a 91, or from 90 to a 95, from 90 to 98. They are doing very well, but there's still room for improvement. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are not married yet, those of you who don't have children yet, just ask parents who have been raising children for the last 8 years, the last 12 years, whose children are grown. And if we have done enough introspection, we can tell you that even now, we can improve as parents. Yeah, because here's the thing now. Don't think that just because our children reach their late teen years, they're no longer 14, but now they're 18 and 19. Don't think that your job as a parent is over. Don't think that just because your children are in their early 30s now, that your job as a parent is over. No, it's not. No. The way you parent, some of the tasks, some of the responsibilities have changed when it comes to, let's think about these stages. You develop, you and the children grew past the point where you had to get up at night, several times a night, to give your baby milk. You got past the point where you had to change diapers. Baby was sleeping through the night. Later on, a couple of years or so later, they were potty trained and you didn't have to change any diapers. They got to the point where their muscle coordination was developed to the point where they could feed themselves. You had to prepare it, but they could put the food in their mouths themselves. Got to the point where you were taking your child to register for pre-K and K-5. Next thing you know, you're taking your child to register for sixth grade. And you're helping them with sixth grade homework. And on it goes. Now, it finally got to the point where your children were old enough that you were no longer spanking them. You were no longer putting them on restriction and saying, nope, you can't go anywhere until, you know, they've outgrown that. But they still need guidance. They still need direction. They still need emotional support. Of course, they may be at a point where they can offer you support when you need it, but you still need to offer it when they need it. Some of you are saying, yeah, not only that, but I provided housing for them too. They moved back in. I hear you. Just because they have a little bit of age on them, that doesn't mean our jobs as parents are over. And since our jobs as parents are not over, we still need to be trying to get it right. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure that we're talking to our children the right way. You figure this now. Your child, let's just don't look at all of them at one time. For now, let's just look at one child, and let's say that child is married and has a child, which means you have a grandchild. Now, if you really don't care about how you relate to your married child, if you're really not that interested in being an effective parent, even at your current age and your child's current adult age, you won't pay much attention to how you talk to your child's spouse. You won't pay much attention to whether or not you are showing your child his or her due respect when it comes to how they want to raise their child. Not your child, your grandchild, their child. Do you try to just take over because you're your child's parent? Or do you respect your child enough to be quiet when quietness is okay? Pull your child aside and talk with your child in private and not in your grandchild's presence. If you think your child is doing something wrong as it pertains to your grandchild, his or her child. See, you almost have to, it can be a delicate act to make sure that you're saying the right thing in the right way at the right time. If anything needs to be said at all. Just so many things that say to us, we still need to make sure we're parenting effectively. And so actually, once your children get to the point where they are adults, that's going to require some skills that you may not have necessarily needed to use when they were only 15 and 16. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was okay for you to be disrespectful to your children when they were teenagers. I'm not even suggesting that. We should be respecting our children regardless of age. But now that they're married and they have children, you have other considerations that you need to bring to mind. So, you know, when they were 5 years old, I'm sorry, when they were 1 year old, you had to deal with potty training, but you did not have to deal with giving guidance on marriage, how to have a good marriage. You didn't have to talk with your children about that when they were 1 year old. Then they need to talk with them about that when they were 5 years old. Now, by the time they hit 8, 9, 10, you might need to start having that conversation. But now when they're really in it, and we're not talking about getting them ready for what may happen at some point in the future, it's here. They're married. You have to think about how you're going to relate to their spouse. Because that's a real part of your world now. Yeah. And so my point again is, we need to be thinking about parenting effectively at whatever stage we're in. So that's why I said, don't be offended by me talking about more effective parenting. As a parent, you're a leader. Now, you're going to be doing much less leading once your children are old enough to move out of the house. But then it becomes a little bit more critical that you're thinking about the example that you're setting. You're still leading by example. One day, your children may be grandparents. Will you have set a good example for them of how to be a good grandparent based on how you related to them, your child, while they were raising your grandchildren? So it's good for us to keep growing, to keep learning, keep honing skills, to keep loving, to continue to embrace. So we're going to focus on that again. We're going to talk today on Power Friday again about parenting more effectively and leading more effectively. This time, let's start with leadership. And we're still going to be taking a look at how it pertains specifically to ministry leadership, but not only, not exclusively ministry leadership, because we can apply many of these principles to leadership, whether it's secular or ministry leadership. Taking a look at some more principles from Dr. Terry Linhart's book, The Self-Aware Leader. And I want to remind you, don't let that hyphenated word self-aware turn you off. It is good for us to be aware of self. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, the numerous times that we're told throughout Scripture to examine ourselves. Think about it. It's impossible to examine ourselves and not be self-aware. So basically, when we're talking about being self-aware, it really comes down to just being aware of what it is about our character that is good, what it is about our character that is not good, what it is about our behavior that is good, what it is about our behavior that needs to change. And specifically now, when it comes to leadership. All right, so the last thing we talked about when we were on this topic was the importance of making sure that when leaders are addressing conflict, that the goal is to resolve the conflict, but also for those times when emotions really run high, for whatever the reasons, that we allow any emotional fervor to go away, dissipate, dissolve, fade. Don't want the emotional fervor level to remain high. And let's just face it, sometimes we are going to come across some people who are truly ugly people, even in ministry. Let's just be real. Real talk about the real world. Even in ministry, there are going to be some people who are ugly because that's who they are. What we want to do is make sure that we don't allow their ugliness to become our ugliness. We don't want to allow ourselves to be contaminated by their contamination. I know I'm speaking kind of candidly here, but let's just be real. There are ugly people everywhere. Ugly attitudes, ugly behavior, ugly motives. That's just the real world, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come across people who get the emotions stirred up, whether they do it deliberately or unintentionally, we got to make sure we allow the emotions to come back down. Now, something else that Dr. Linhart says we should keep in mind when it comes to dealing with conflict. We need to exercise discipline by learning not to say anything and everything that comes to our mind. You know, some people talk about folks who are like bad refrigerators, or people who will say about someone, whatever comes up, comes out. Whatever comes up, comes out. Whatever comes to their mind, they're going to say it. Well, don't be like that. One of the challenges for some people when it comes to that matter is the importance of developing humility. I say that because one of the problems that some people have when it comes to this whole issue of saying whatever comes to the mind is pride. Yeah, pride. There are people who really take pride in saying whatever they want to say. They're not interested in exercising self-control. They're not interested in exercising wisdom. They get a kick out of saying whatever they want to say. For some people, it's a matter of getting the impression that they are intimidating people. For some, it's the notion of thinking that they're running over people's feelings roughshod and they enjoy doing that. It could be any number of reasons. Even if the other people won't decide to change, you change. Learn not to say whatever comes to your mind. Often people speak without regard to relationships. They're not really concerned about relationship. One of the tactics that some people use when they want to go ahead and say what they want to say, even when they know that what they're getting ready to say is not true, they love to talk about speaking the truth in love. Or they might say, I'm honest to a fault. I remember hearing someone say that, and I knew that she was just being manipulative and dishonest, deceitful. She had made a decision that she was going to be a fault finder, and she was going to be as hypercritical as she could be towards a particular person. And she just went on and on for several days, just blasting this person who had done nothing to her. But there was darkness in her. There was something in her soul that caused her to be like that. And in another of numerous moments of pride and arrogance, she said that she was just honest to a fault. And actually, she was lying when she said that, because she knew that the things that she had been saying were not true. But you have to just know that there are so many people who are just like her. They know that what they're saying is not true. They know that they're just trying to be problematic. But they'll hide it in Christian phrases like speaking the truth in love, and a non-Christian phrase, I'm just honest to a fault, pretending to be humble, pretending that this quality of being honest is so important to them that it just takes over. This need to be honest just overtakes them. And you know, the truth be told, it is very, very rare that you will find a person who truly, truly values honesty who does not also value humility. It is very, very rare that you find a person who genuinely honors honesty, but they do not also honor humility. And when you have this person who has just been going off on someone and going off on them and going off on them, saying all kinds of ugly things about them that are not true, and then they try to make it seem like it's true by saying, I'm just honest to a fault. That takes you back to one of those character traits that we were talking about the other day when we were talking about impressions and the person who tried to pretend that they're being humble when they're really trying to blow themselves up, exalt themselves, make themselves seem to be something great. I'm just honest to a fault. When you hear that, that person is just giving you a right to question their integrity, even if you only question it silently. You're going to have people like that. They just want to say whatever comes to their mind, true or false. One of the things that can be, you know, a step that people can take in order to slow themselves down enough so that if this really is just a genuine problem that, you know, saying whatever comes to your mind comes out of your mouth and you really want to change. One thing that Dr. Linhart talks about is how people can take notes, you know, take a small notepad, a notepad, something that will have you writing during your interactions, meetings, etc. And you start taking notes while grievances are being aired, etc. Taking notes. That can discipline you to pay attention to what's being said rather than anticipating someone's responses. And if you talk more than the other people you're with, you'll want to check to see if you're listening well enough and if your conversation is well filtered. Because that's the other thing. Often, when people just say whatever comes to their mind, they're also not good listeners. So we want to make sure that if saying whatever comes to our mind has been part of our practice, part of our way of interacting, let's change that. Let's transition. I'll be right back.